This episode is brought to you by Splash Refresher. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash, they spice it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. My flavor that I've been enjoying the most lately is the wild berry. Keep one on your desk. You'll be hydrated in no time. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches Media presents
Ha Ha Laugh Funny
Mention It All, a Bravo by Betches podcast.
We don't say that, but now we said it.
With Dylan Hafer.
Hold on, check me, bro.
And Barry Rosenfeld.
I need to start drinking alcohol. Now go to sleep, we.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Mention It All podcast. I am Dylan Hafer.
And I am Barry Rosenfeld.
And it is Tuesday. We're talking about Roni. We're talking about Below Deck Med. We're talking about, you know, whatever we feel like, just chit-chatting, shooting the breeze about Bravo.
Oh, I thought you were going to shoot in the breeze about life. We're just talking about life.
Do you have anything you want to bring up?
Literally nothing. No? Nothing I want to talk about.
Like, well, my only real conversation topic is Housewives at this point. So.
Like in life and in work. I know there are some days, like today's only Tuesday, and it's like, wow, nothing has happened. Like I'm not even lying when I say like I have nothing to talk about right now, which honestly, I'll take it. That's like good sometimes.
I will say, like in my dating life, even like pre-pandemic more, because I was going on more dates. I honestly haven't really been trying that hard recently, but it was like, when I was going on a date with somebody who also watched Bravo, it was like a good little crutch, because like, even if you're not really hitting it off that well with the person, if you know they watch Real Housewives of New Jersey, then it's like a good kind of fallback topic.
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh, so like,
it's like,
what do you think about Teresa and Jackie?
No, right. I was going to say, I don't really like you, but let me know your thoughts on this fight that happened on New Jersey, because like, I just need to know where you stand. But funny you bring up dating, actually, because we can talk about this. You know what I don't like? When people who, like? Well, a lot, the list is long, but the one thing I don't like recently is that when people you haven't seen over the pandemic, or like you're not friends with in general,
right,
give like you their opinion on your dating life. And so someone recently was like, well, you haven't, like, I feel like you haven't been trying. And I like didn't say anything back because it wasn't like the time or place. But in my head, I go, how would you know how hard or not I am trying on with
bitch,
dating?
Please.
Wait, like I maybe, don't tell you what I'm
like,
doing.
I might be trying extremely hard and failing, and I don't want to think about that either. So like, please
correct,
just see yourself out of that situation.
Yeah. Goodbye. Thank you for that input. But
honestly, though, yeah, no, that's like, I don't appreciate that. It's like, maybe I'm focusing on myself. Maybe I'm upset about something, you know, like you don't know what I've been through.
You don't know. Like,
I need a seance to unpack why my,
you don't need to be my friend, life. But please don't be
please
my
enemy. Don't be my enemy.
Okay.
Oh my goodness. Let's head to Salem and talk about the New York ladies. I will say this episode was refreshing to me, because I thought after the initial, you know, situation with Sonia and Brashan, I thought the group actually was able to kind of move forward and make some progress for the rest of the episode. And it didn't feel like we were just kind of in this cycle of no one getting along, which I appreciated. Because the last few episodes have felt a little monotonous, and this one felt at least a little bit like a breath of fresh air, as much as it can be when you're in Salem in November.
Yeah, I mean, we left off with this altercation, which I'm glad that it was kind of like the next morning. It was kind of giving me Hangover vibes, the movie where like Leo was like telling everyone what happened. And it was kind of crazy that she was the only one there. And like, separating them, and it was getting a little, you know, heated. But even Brashan later in the episode said like she would never do anything. She was just saying, when you put your finger in someone's face, like they're gonna react. And Listen, it's because the alcohol was involved. I think that the conversation they had the next day, which we'll get to, was great. It was one of the most refreshing, like, apology conversations I've seen in a while, to be honest. It was like, other than, you know, Ramona having to just ask for something in the middle of the conversation. But yeah,
it was like, it was very Brashan's reaction. Like, when they were having their little altercation, it was like, you know, it was like a Candace and Monique situation, but Brashan didn't take it to the Monique level, you know, like it could have gone there and thankfully it didn't. The weird kind of side effect, though, is that Sonia broke the fire extinguisher glass with her purse, which to me, it's like, obviously that is not good. You know, it's property damage, all of that stuff. To me, it's not like that dramatic. Like, it's an accident. Sonia didn't like punch a hole through a wall. I think, like,
well, that
I don't
wasn't
know.
An accident. She punched it on purpose.
Was it not? But her bag hit it.
Oh, okay. So that's the thing. Is it because she was flailing and she hit it, or she like went to, I think she went to go hit it and she hit maybe. It with her bag. So she didn't like break her hand or something.
I don't know. We'll have to go back in with the slow motion camera.
Yeah.
Like last season when Candace and Monique's thing was happening, there was like the super slow-mo replay of like who touched Monique's vest and then who slapped, you know, like it was very minute. And I feel like this doesn't really warrant that, because the next day Brashan obviously knew she fucked up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Ramona kind of sat down with her the next morning and was like, hey, so that was a lot, like blah, blah, blah. And Brashan really was already on that page. She was like, oh yeah, like I know I need to apologize, like I know that was too much, that was crazy. I did think it was a little bit like, it's funny because she kind of is acting like the only issue is that she doesn't know the women that well yet. And it's like, no, like even if you and Sonia were good friends, like you were being rude to her.
Right. But also the thing is with these women so far, every conversation they've had, they have to have a conversation beforehand. So like before Ramona talked to Brashan, Leah and Luann were saying, and they're like, you need to talk to her. You brought her, you need to talk to her. And then like Leah was calling and telling everyone about the fight the night before. Like everyone needed to be prompted for something. And so I did think that it was appropriate that they told Ramona, like, you need to. And Ramona kind of handled that well. Although she was like throwing Sonia under the bus a little, she was doing it in a friendly way. She was like, she's weak, she's a mess, but like she is my best friend. And
she's my BF of 30 years.
Yeah. So
I do agree with you. I think Ramona actually did a good job of sort of playing both sides in this episode, because while Sonia is her, you know, her longtime friend that she really should have loyalty to, in the moment, in that situation, she brought Brashan on the trip and she was the one.
Right.
It was interesting that that Leah and Luann were like, this is your fault because you told Brashan that we were fun. And I'm like, okay, I mean, they're self-aware, which I appreciate. They're like, we're not that fun.
That's true.
And I thought Ramona actually handled that sort of gracefully, that she knew she kind of had to talk to both sides and get everyone, you know, back together.
Yeah,
and it worked.
But I also feel like the women are treating Brashan like, not really treating her, but talking about her like she's almost like a kid that they're babysitting, and all of them are like, well, I don't know what to do with her. What do we do with her? Like, you take her. And I was like, guys, she's like a grown woman. Like, you just need to tell her.
Later at dinner, when they had their intervention moment with Sonia, which we'll unpack more, when they're like, Lord. Okay, Ebony, so you go keep Brashan distracted. Like, it's like, I mean, it makes sense. There's no one else there. Like, Brashan's not just going to like sit by herself in the lobby for 30 minutes. But
if I were her, I would definitely choose to do that anyway.
I'd be like playing Candy Crush on my phone. Okay, girls, I'll be back.
Yeah. So this apology, though, it was funny because they took like that long 40-minute van ride where they just took that time to acknowledge that they weren't going to talk in the van, that they all napped and whatever. But it was nice because Sonia really was like, ignore. She was like, I'm not, you lost my trust. And they both explained their sides and they had a moment beforehand. That's why they were a little confused. However, the night before when they did the flashback, when they, it looks like her and Bersham were like joking and laughing. Bersham was like, oh, I love her. She's drunk. Like that. She didn't mean anything. You can tell by that, but it triggered Sonia by saying that. So I feel like when you're starting to learn things about people, you're starting to learn things about them. You know what to say and what not to say. And when you are close enough to be able to say those things. And it did get emotional, but I feel like it was good on both ends.
Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. We have just entered spring, and while I don't love that the weather outside is still a little bit cold, you know the silver lining of that is that I have had a few more chances to wear my Quince cashmere before it gets too warm, and I just love throwing that on, whether it's by itself, a little layering moment with a t-shirt under, with a jacket over, with a bigger coat over. The cashmere is the perfect thing to just add to any outfit to make it look a little more pulled together. And the way that Quince prices their items, it doesn't feel like it has to be this wild thing that you're splurging on. It is so nice to have those pieces in your wardrobe that feel luxurious, but come at a price point that you can stomach. It's 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters starting at just $50. They also have organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and also timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. And the best part is that all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of middlemen and passes the savings on to us. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/mention for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/mention to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/mention. Splash Refreshers are the delicious zero-calorie beverage I'm reaching for again and again when I'm feeling thirsty for something flavorful. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash spices it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. Lately, my go-to office beverage has been the Splash Wild Berry flavor. It's so nice to just put a few in the fridge at the beginning of the week. Grab one whenever you want something nice and refreshing. It's just the right amount of flavor, just the right amount of sweetness. You know the vibes. When you want something refreshing, when you want something hydrating, Splash is the perfect thing to reach for. It perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. And it's available in 5 craveable flavors. Wild Berry, that's my favorite. Acai Grape, Pineapple Mango, Lemon, and Mandarin. In orange. It's there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
I think Bershon did a good job of, you know, owning it, apologizing. It seems like a real apology in the sense that she knows what she did was wrong in that situation. But I also really appreciate that Sonia was able to express herself and to be honest about how it hurt her, why it hurt her, and like what she really felt versus just being like, okay, thanks for apologizing. I guess we can move on now. Like sometimes, you know, even if somebody is apologizing to you and you are accepting the apology, it's okay if it takes you like, you know, a little bit longer to really work through the feelings there. And I think I was glad that Sonia was sort of doing that. Like you were saying, Ramona asking for Kleenex in the middle of her sentence. And I love that Sonia snapped at Ramona for her to shut up, because Ramona is so bad at interrupting, you know, absentmindedly while people are talking. We see it later in the seance. I know in the seance it's stressful, whatever. But it's like Ramona just cannot sit and listen to what someone is saying. And I like that. I like when Sonia can really, you know, speak up for herself.
She has been a lot lately, too. They even showed again when they did show the flashback of Sonia and Bershon on the van. And Ramona was like, what? Like, it went. And Sonia was like, Ramona, keep doing what you're doing. We are talking. Like, she is actually listening to me. Like, Sonia's starting to like call Ramona out on the things that she hasn't done in these BF relationship of 30 years, which is, listen, because Ramona, I feel, has just been, not I feel, has been just been like taking advantage. And she really does. I know Sonia was accusing Bershon of treating, using her as a doormat, but I think Ramona has been doing that to Sonia this whole time.
Totally. I think, and Leah kind of called that out. Leah and Ebony called that out with Ramona and Luann earlier in the season, that they don't, you know, I think they like Sonia and I think they like having fun with Sonia and they think of Sonia as like a fun friend, but that they don't always give her the respect that she deserves. And they don't, I think sometimes they don't think of Sonia as their equal, which, you know, there are lots of different facets of, you know, their relationships, sure, but like, Sonia's not like some like rando who's like tagging along with them. Like they're all on this show together. And like, at least in the context of the show, they're all on the same level, you know, like there's no reason why Sonia should be in that position. And it's, so it's great to see her, you know, really speaking up for herself. And I love, you know, I love that we get a couple of sort of like catchphrasey references in this episode. Like Ramona says, it's not turtle time. And Sonia's snapping at her like a turtle.
Like there's a time and a place for turtle time. And this is not it.
Earlier when Sonia says, I have a taste for luxury, but I don't have a taste for cheap red wine.
Wait, that sounds like a tagline. Like she just made like a tagline for herself.
Yeah. No, one of her old taglines was, I have a taste for luxury and luxury has a taste for me.
Oh my God.
It's a good little meta moment.
Yeah. Okay. So this seance, again, I'm not 100% sure that I would participate in this. It was like, I don't know, not something. But at the same time, watching them, it looked really nice and it looked like it was like fulfilling. And
yeah, I appreciated it for the group. I mean, I'm just like not into that kind of stuff. It's fine. It is what it is. But I thought, yeah, it seemed nice. I thought, you know, particularly seeing Sonia open up about the stuff with her dad. I don't recall ever hearing her talk about that on the show before. Ramona didn't even seem to know anything about that. And, you know, to hear her say not just that her father had a drinking problem, which yeah, kind of explains some things, but, you know, the whole idea that she grew up with, you know, without her dad around and her mom, you know, hustling to raise four kids, like it makes you think in 11 seasons or whatever that Sonia's been on, we really have never gotten a lot of information about her background. You know, obviously we know about, you know, the Morgans and all of this, but to hear her really open up about her like childhood is different.
To be honest, even all of those seasons she's been on, we never even fully heard about like her marriage and all of those details. She reminds me of Carrie Bradshaw, because even in Sex and the City, we know nothing about Carrie Bradshaw's life. Like it's very secretive and nothing about it, but Sonia just like reminds me of that. But it was very like eye-opening too. Even Luann was like, well, that explains like a lot of things, you know, even
right,
even how Sonia is with men. Like she doesn't let everyone in. And sometimes you need that from a third party and to like get that out. But at the same time, I know we didn't really go into detail with the intervention, but she even said to the girl, she was like, I pay people, like I have like professionals who like talk to me about this stuff. So like maybe that's something else that she doesn't want it. This goes so deep that she doesn't want to talk about it with these women who she has known for a long time, but it's just is very extremely personal that everyone handles that stuff very differently. But
I have mixed feelings about the intervention because I definitely think I feel for sure that it was coming from a good place and a place of love and a place of genuine concern. And I think those concerns are warranted. Like, I don't think it's weird that, you know, they feel concerned about Sonia's drinking. But at the same time, it's like to do it on camera. And while you're on this trip, and it's not even like they're back at the hotel and have some downtime. Right. It's like literally in this like side area of the restaurant or wherever they are. And, you know, they're pulling her aside and, you know, really not giving her, you know, like it feels very forced, kind of, that it's like, we have to do it right now. We have to, you know, take away her drink that she just ordered. And, you know, we have to do it tonight. We can't wait until tomorrow. Like all of this stuff. It just feels like I mean, I'm not an expert in planning interventions, though I have watched many episodes of
the show Intervention. I do love it. Yeah.
Um, it just feels like they really weren't setting her up to receive that message in the best way. And I don't know if it was production telling them they needed to do it in that way, or if it was just, you know, that's kind of how it came together. But it just felt kind of like, what did you expect in that situation?
I totally agree, because the one thing I noticed going into it, and of course, it's like when you have your own conversation with friends that, and you're like, wait, this wasn't how I wanted to go. It seemed like they needed to have an agenda of some sort. Like they didn't know once they actually sat down with her, they didn't know what to like do or say or.
And
it was weird.
Sorry, but like Luann saying that she got arrested for way less, but just by being in her own hotel. I'm like, Luann.
That it's so funny every time you bring up like production, because it really makes you think like, you waited till you were at a bar and to take away her drink to do this. Like you guys stay in the same hotel room.
Why not do it in any other setting that doesn't involve her already drinking?
Sonia's like, she's not dumb. And she's like, you took away my drink. What am I, 12? Like, where is it? Show me where my drink is.
Sonia's not the kind of person, like, obviously, I don't know 100%. When she says she's not drinking at home or she's not drinking by herself, I don't know 100% if that's true. But Sonia is not the kind of person who's just like trashed 24/7. Like it seems very at least from watching the show, it seems like she more has a problem with going too far in a situation where she's drinking, right. Not that she's drinking constantly. So it's like you would have plenty of opportunities to sit her down when she's not just like, wait, you know, like it just feels like this is the kind of the worst possible situation to do it in. And, you know, like Candy and Jeff on intervention would never do an intervention at a bar.
Well, yes, that is true. And
do you prefer Candy or Jeff?
It's different. It's different. Yeah, like it really vibes. Is. Yeah, it's very different, but it's earlier. Like when Ramona was like, oh no, she drinks all the time. It goes back to my date. How do you know that? How do you know Sonia wakes up and has a drink? Like you have no idea.
Yeah. And like, I mean, I think there are also a lot of levels to it. It's like, okay, like, you know, does she never drink at home? Maybe not. But also like, there's a big difference between like having a glass of wine sometimes and like drinking to get through the day. So I don't know. Like, I think overall, like, I think Sonia kind of handled it fine. Like I don't think it was like, it wasn't like problematic to me that she was kind of not having it. Like I was like, yeah, honestly, I wouldn't be there for that either.
Totally agree. And it probably like killed her vibe, but you know, what was problematic was her ponytail. And that's all I'm going to say negatively about Sonia. Cause no. I love her, but you know, it wasn't my favorite.
Oh my God. I went to a Watch What Happens Live taping yesterday and they played a game where the guest had to rate some hairstyles and they were so bad.
I still think like one that lives in my head is Dorit's like curly piece on her head.
The braids?
No. Like the actual like piece of curly hair on her head.
Where she's wearing that like black and silver.
Yes.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It has to be that bad for like out of all these years, women, everything, for like that hairstyle to like be in my mind.
I know. It's iconic, maybe for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
But we're still in Salem. We get the mid-season trailer, yeah. Which looks fun. I do feel like this season, you know, still has some potential. I don't think it's going to be like an incredible season for the rest of the time, but I hope that it's, you know, I feel like it could sort of get back on a better track, but we'll see.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
one arts educator save the world. We talk with artists and their mentors to discuss the transformative work that happens in arts education. We began with Lin-Manuel Miranda and his elementary school music teacher, and mine, Barbara Ames.
The direct education we got from Barbara, it was life-changing.
And since then, we've spoken with Cecily Strong, Josh Radner, Annalie Ashford, Robert Lopez, and so many others, each with their mentors. Join us again as we begin season two of Arts Educators Save the World, available everywhere.
Let's talk about Below Deck Med. We have our first crew night out continues. And the big news is that Z and Courtney are making out, which, you know, good for them. Have your fun. Courtney doesn't remember it the next day, which is awkward.
Yeah.
And she really doesn't even think that it happened. And she has to be told like three times before she actually believes it, which is rough.
You can also tell while the makeout was happening that she wouldn't, because that was like the messy. I out loud, I think, by myself. I was like, what are they doing? That does not look like a fun coordinated makeout going on there. But you know what? That party in the cabin looked like really fun, to be honest. Everyone was letting loose. Malia has a completely different energy this season. She is like having fun. Yeah. It seems her fake accent is like coming out more though. Now, I don't know if you've noticed, like, I don't really know so much if I've noticed that,
but
I don't know what's going on there.
I have noticed that. So like Lloyd specifically was saying that it's like fun being on a crew where it's a more positive vibe. Yeah. And like everybody's getting along. And I think that those are, he maybe is speaking a little too soon, because I don't think that's going to be the case for long. But this episode, it's like, we have some tension sort of starting to bubble up more in the crew, and that mostly stems from Lexi, who is still not getting along with Chef Matthew. You know, they just like should steer clear of each other. But mostly Lexi is also getting pissed at Katie, the chief stew. And, you know, she's not happy with how she's dividing the work duties between her and Courtney for the second charter. And I really feel like maybe there is some truth to what Lexi is saying, but I also just feel like she seems like a very difficult person to work with, is what I'm getting from her.
Yeah, she seems like she's a type of person where it's like my way or the highway. I said last week she seemed pretty entitled, and like that thought continued into this week. Like she's just, if it's not the way she likes to do things, like she gets mad at the person, or she was going around being like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. She even said like, if I don't know what I'm supposed to do, like I'm not happy, but like just ask, like it's okay. It's okay. It's a new
also,
crew.
Like, you know, you're not the chief stew. You are, I feel like we've seen enough different people working on these shows that it's like, you know, the chief stew kind of chooses their own way of running things. And then, you know, the interior kind of works under that. And so I feel like, you know, if Katie wants to give Courtney some experience on service or whatever, and doesn't want to keep her in laundry the whole time, like, that's her choice. And like, sorry, Lexi, if you're not happy with that, but like, that doesn't mean Katie's bad at her job because she's doing things differently than you would.
I actually think that was a great thing that she did. So to give other people like a chance to try other things. And to be honest, I always say that about any job, just because someone doesn't do it the way you would or does it differently, right, doesn't mean it's wrong. It just means you guys have different working forms.
Yeah. And based on the preview for next week, it looks like Lexi's going to have some even bigger issues with some of the crew. So I'm like honestly nervous. I know a couple people who have watched the episode already and they said it's like very stressful, and like Chef Matt might be leaving. Like, oh, there's a lot going on.
Yeah, next week that preview looked like really intense. I was like, you heard screaming, like people again getting in people's faces. But the thing is, like, Lexi has this burn list that I don't know if it was meant to be seen on purpose or not, but Malia saw it and she was like very taken back, and she was like, this is where her accent, she goes, am I on it? And I was like, Malia,
Am I on it?
Am I on it? Am I on it?
Am I on it?
Well, it's that's like you don't know if Lexi's kidding or not because you actually took the time to make the list. And she said, right, like, the more successful I get, the sorry, like, you'll be that you weren't nicer to
me. When she first mentioned the list, I assumed maybe it was either like in her head or maybe like a note on her phone with like three names. But that is like, that's like a large piece of paper with full
sections,
list of names.
And it looks like sections. Okay, guys, Dylan and I, we love Lexi. She's our favorite person on Below Deck Med. She's great at her job.
To be fair, I think Matthew sucks too. Like, I think their dynamic.
Yes.
Their dynamic is like equally bad from both directions. Yeah. Like, I think he is not speaking to her very well. I think he obviously can't handle kind of this work environment. Like, you know, he seems very stressed out, and we're going to get to that, I'm sure, next episode.
I'm going to get stressed next week watching that happen. I can like feel it.
But like, I do feel like Lexi is sort of the center of chaos on the boat, and that's only going to be magnified as we move forward.
Yeah. And by the way, I watched last week's episode again, and like, I couldn't get that out of my head where Chef Matt was like, I am the boss in here. Never again. But he like looked down when he was like shaking his finger and he was like, get out. And it looked like a scene from like a cartoon. And I just started laughing. So I was like, wait, I don't know if someone would say that to me, if I would take that seriously or not. Like, he was like, get out. And it's like, went downhill from there.
I don't know if you've ever had this situation, but it's like where you realize you're in a position of power and you're like, wait, should I use this power? Like, should I yell right now? Or should I like get mad? Oh, and then you kind of like, you like do it, but you don't 100% believe it coming out of your mouth.
And you're like, this feels good. Yeah. Get out.
You're like, don't talk to me. Don't talk to me like that. I deserve respect. Like, and then you're kind of like, fuck, like that sounded really aggressive.
Yeah.
Was that too much? It might've been too much.
There's been so much, like, not even drama, but I feel like we've been focusing so much on the crew in the actual episodes too, that we haven't even like paid attention to Charter get. Like, I don't even know. Sometimes I don't even know that there is a Charter, but this one was so embarrassingly drunk that I don't even care to talk about them.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. There's like something happening with him wanting to swim drunk, and like some crew issue happening at the same time. Like, I don't really, I'm not good at keeping up with like boat things, so I'm like, oh, like the line, okay.
Oh, because like, it snapped. Yeah.
Like on sailing, it was nice because I could tell like the boat hit the dock. That's very cut and dry. This is a little bit to me like, I don't, like, the boat is still just in the water. Like, I don't know what's going to happen there.
I know they were like saying how they're like, we're going to dock at night. And I was like, let's go, guys. We're come on.
Sandy's like, I don't like that current. Yeah, me neither, I guess.
They were also talking about water. A dolphin. And I was like, oh, my God, cool. But it wasn't the animal. And
oh, yeah, it's one of those.
Oh, please don't say like you. Oh, Barry, a dolphin. It's like
I
a
had
buoy.
Something
it's
in
like
my
a
mind,
buoy.
And then I realized that I had no way to describe it. It's
It's a buoy type thing.
My hand is just like flinging back and forth right now.
it's a giant piece of cement in the water, essentially.
Well, if you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to rate 5 stars and leave a review, maybe explaining something about how boats work. But only if it's a 5-star review, because we, like Ramona Singer, we love learning.
Oh God, don't compare us.
True. Okay. Well, that's going to do it for us today. Thank you so much for listening. Like I said, don't forget to rate, review, and follow wherever you listen to the show. And just be cool.
Don't be all like uncool.
Mention It All is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Sean Kilby. Social media by Dylan Hafer. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow at Bravo by Betches on Instagram and Twitter.
Thank you to our sponsor, Splash Refresher. Meet the water beverage that loves self-care as much as you do. Just because you have to hydrate doesn't mean it has to be tasteless. Splash Refresher makes hydration deliciously easy. Splash perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. I am going to go grab myself a wild berry splash now that I am done recording, and you should too. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches.